Welcome to this sermon from Christ Church. Have your Bible ready, and let's begin.
Church, you can be seated. Would you bow your heads in prayer with me? Father, we just thank you so much today that we can rejoice, we can have a sense of well-being. Lord, even in the hard times, because you are fighting for us right now. Father, we just rejoice in that. We're encouraged by that. We pray we could just feel that at a very visceral level in our lives this morning. And Father, I pray that as we go through this holiday season, I pray stress wouldn't win. I pray we wouldn't be dominated by all the anxiety and fear and pressure in our lives. But I pray, Father, that we could look past it to your goodness, to your love, to your presence, to the hope of who you are. And I pray it would renew, refresh, and refuel us today. Father, help us to be renewed by your Spirit. We ask this in the great name of Jesus. Amen. Well, it's good to be with you this morning, church. I don't know about you, but there's something about that guy in the announcements that I really liked. I don't know, just something about him. But I do have one more thing to announce before I get into the message today. And we, in this coming year, 2020, we are going to start a new ministry called Alpha. And Alpha is a place where, you know, people who are really exploring their faith and trying to, you know, decide what do I believe? Who is God? What does that mean? Are these things true? Alpha is a place where people will be able to have meals together and talk through some of these really, really important issues. And it's a great ministry. It's something that happens worldwide. And we're going to launch that in 2020, but to be ready for it, we are going to need a team of people who are passionate about this. And so what we're looking for right now is if this is something on your heart, you can sign up. We have a table in the foyer there, and you can get more information, see what it's like to be part of Alpha. And it's a really cool program. I think you'll love it. I want to show you a video about it before I get to my message.
Having conversations about life, faith, and Jesus is hard. And this is interesting because at some point, everyone wrestles with life's big questions. Questions about hope, purpose, meaning, and love. Imagine creating a space where people in our community, our friends, neighbors, and coworkers, can come and have conversations in a way that is authentic and unforced. Where leaders don't need to have all the answers, and anyone can ask tough questions and share honestly about what they believe. That's what Alpha is all about. Alpha started in a church in London years ago with a simple idea to engage friends who might not typically go to church. Lives were transformed, and it began to grow all over the world. Today, you can find Alpha in schools, coffee shops, church buildings, prisons, and homes. And so far, millions of people have experienced Alpha. So what is Alpha? Alpha is a series of interactive sessions exploring the basics of the Christian faith. In each session, you eat food, listen to a talk, and have discussions in small groups. Eating food together creates space for people to connect, relax, and build friendships. The talks tackle core questions about life and faith from a Christian perspective. And the discussion allows people to unpack these ideas without fear of being corrected or judged. All of this is done in a fun environment where anyone is welcome. By running Alpha, you're creating a space where people can connect with each other and connect with God. Sign up, get started, run Alpha today.
Great, so there's a little bit about that. If you're, yeah, you can give it a round of applause. If you're interested, we'll have a table out there, and if you want to be part, we'd love to have you. Well, today I'm excited to kick off this series, All I Want for Christmas is Less Stress. What a great gift for all of us, right? I know when I think about Christmas, the first thing I think about is, I don't have any money. Amen, how are we going to do this? And there's different levels of stress that come with the holiday season. I know we all want the holidays to be great, but we all have that one weird uncle in our family. Maybe some of us do. That make it tough. There tends to always be something that can sometimes just make a season that's supposed to be refreshing and renewing really difficult. And so today we're going to talk about dealing with the stress and what God has to say about that. I read this week that in the Cleveland area, we are actually 13th in the nation in terms of depression and anxiety. We're the 13th highest in the United States. In our area, the Cleveland and Elyria metro area, they said 1 in 4 people have a serious struggle with anxiety and depression. Just under 25%. And so this is a real issue in our world today. And it's a real issue in our lives. And God has, I think, so many helpful things to say to us. And I'm always fascinated by people who are able to experience incredible stress in their lives and respond to it in really helpful and productive ways. One of my favorite people in history is Winston Churchill. And if you know of him, the thing he's most famous for is he was the Prime Minister of England during World War II. And his courageous leadership, in many ways, prevented the Nazis from maybe taking over and winning that war. And it was a tough deal, leading people through the bombing, all this kind of thing. But Winston Churchill dealt with really stressful situations his whole life. When he was 21, he faced combat across the world. When he was in his mid-20s, he wrote best-selling novels. For 65 years, he served at the highest realms of government through ups and downs, economic crises, and world wars. I would say this guy had a lot on his plate. Would you agree? And he was able to navigate it in a very successful way. One of his biographers said that the key to his good responses to the stress and the pressure of his life were these four ideas. Is that number one, he always said, aim high. Choose an important goal. Do something meaningful with your life. The second, never allow mistakes or criticisms to get you down. That's a good one there. Three, waste no energy on grudges, duplicity, or infighting. Don't spend your energy that way. How much of our stress just comes from some of that in our lives? And then lastly, make room for joy, even in the toughest scenarios. I thought, you know what, that's a pretty good philosophy. Don't you agree? And that was part of how he responded to all the stress that he went through. And the reality is we won't always be able to change the stressors in our life. And I think that's our first move. Is how can I change some of these things? How can I get away from the stress? But we all know life is hard. Life is unrelenting. And there are things that many times are outside of our control that create tremendous stress and pressure in our life. And so through this series, I'm not going to tell you how you can escape all the stressors, because I would be lying if there was a way to do that. Life is tough. Things happen. There is financial pressure. There's the pressure of losing people we love. There's diseases and things like that. There's a lot of stressors. But what I want to focus on is how can we change our response to the stressors? You with me on that? Because that's the part you and I can control. And in controlling that, church, believe it or not, that can make a tremendous difference in our lives. So that's what this series is about. And I want to say today, this is my main idea for today, that when we are in a season of overwhelming stress, it's a signal for us that we need physical, emotional, and spiritual renewal. That sometimes the stress, we get so afraid of it and overwhelmed and frustrated by it. But what if we saw it as a light on our dashboard that says, hey, you're not totally messed up. You haven't done everything wrong. You just need renewed in some key areas in our life. I think sometimes we get into seasons of stress and we make it so personal as our own failures. And I want to look at it a little bit differently maybe we don't need to take it as personal, but we need to see it as a signal that we need some real renewal in some core areas in our life. That makes sense, church? And we're going to see how God leads one man named Elijah through it. And there's three aspects of it today we're going to see in this story. The reason that sometimes we experience a lot of stress, some ways that we respond that aren't helpful, and we're going to see how God can renew it, renew us, even in the midst of it. So here's our story today, and we're going to start with the reason for this, for stress. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So may the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." Now let me give you the context of this story. Elijah was an ancient prophet in Israel, and he was at odds with Ahab and Jezebel, who were the king and queen. But they were not good kings and queens. They were very mean people and completely against the purpose of God. And so anytime they found someone who was for God, they would kill him. And Elijah was for God, and he wanted his people to turn their hearts back to God. And so finally things got really intense where Elijah and all these other prophets of a different and false religion had a standoff. Remember those, a showdown in the Old West, you know? It was this kind of thing. And basically, the deal was, Elijah said, "You call on your God, and we'll see if he shows up. And then if he doesn't, I'll call on my God, and we'll see if he shows up." So these other prophets, they were called the prophets of Baal, they called on their God, and they were doing crazy religious ceremonies and hooping and hollering and making all a ruckus, and nothing happened. And it went on and on all day long. And Elijah finally said, "All right, you guys, good? Like, I don't know if your God's sleeping. I don't know if he's on a lunch break, if he's out of town. But can I give my God a try?" So then Elijah prayed, and God showed up tangibly. And everybody was like terrified. "I can't believe that worked. I can't believe this just happened." It'd be like someone at the Browns Stadium today just calling on God and God showing up. Wouldn't that be beautiful if God showed up in the Browns game today? I can tell you he was not there last week. That much I know for sure. And if that happened, everybody would be freaked out and they would rethink their life. And they would rethink everything they believed. And this is what was happening. So the king and queen don't like this. And Elijah's the one at the center of it. So they decide, "We are going to track this guy down no matter what and kill him because he's turning our world upside down and we can't have that." And Elijah finds out. And so they say, "We're going to kill him by this time tomorrow." And then he was afraid, which I don't blame him. I'd be afraid too. And he arose and ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and he left his servants there. So now look at this, church. He was afraid and he begins to isolate himself. Because stress has a way of just keeping you away from the people you need to be around. Stress has a way of keeping you in your own head when sometimes you need to take a step out of it to be able to see things clearly. But he went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came and sat down under a broom tree and he asked that he might die. This dude's stressed. "God, you ever have those days? God, I'm done. I'm just done." This is where Elijah was. "God, just grab me. Swing low, sweet chariot. I'm ready to go." He's saying, "It's enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life. I'm no better than my fathers." Now he begins to doubt everything about who he is. He begins just to see the dark cloud over everything. And keep in mind, this was after the greatest ministry success of his life. So he's coming from the highest high to an incredibly low low. And it's undoing him. And so he lay down and slept. And behold, an angel touched him and said, "Arise and eat. Here's a burrito." And he looked, and behold, there was at his head a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. And he ate and drank and lay down again. So this is Elijah's story. And the angel came again, arise and eat, the journey is too great. He arose and he went 40 nights to Horeb, to the Mount of God. Now, here's the first thing that I want you to see. Why was Elijah stressed? Here's what you have to know. Number one, great people of faith are not immune to the challenges of anxiety, depression, and stress. Elijah was as great a man of faith as you could ever find. He loved God. He believed in God. He saw God in a way that none of us have seen. Or I'm pretty sure none of us have seen him quite in that visceral way like Elijah did. And yet, even after all of that, he still struggled with these issues. And I say that because sometimes I think in years past, sometimes well-meaning Christians will say things that sound like, if you struggle with stress, anxiety, or depression, it's a lack of faith. It's because you don't trust God enough. It's because you're not as devoted to him. And I just want to say that is not the case. You with me on this? You can love God with all your heart, and these can still be real issues in our life. And maybe there's ways, yeah, we can love and trust God more, but maybe there's some other issues going on as well that we need to seek some help from. You with me on this, church? And so I want to free you, or free any of us, from this kind of thinking. Elijah, I would say, one of the greatest men of faith of all time, and he struggled with this as part of being human. And I would even go one step further is to say that sometimes the more God uses your life, the more vulnerable we actually are to these types of issues. Because following God, I'm not going to lie to you, is a stressful ordeal at times. Elijah, if you read the story of this whole episode with the prophets, I mean, it's high stress. It's high stakes. Ahab and Jezebel want to kill him because of his faith. And sometimes when you take one step towards God, your life won't become easier. It will become more complicated. Sometimes when you take an important step of obedience, it won't make your life with less burdens. It will actually add burdens to it. And so sometimes following God actually makes these issues even more real in our life. You with me on this, church? And so this is where Elijah was. But he was physically, emotionally, and spiritually exhausted. When you actually begin to map out what his last couple days before this moment looked like, he was covering a lot of distance. He was just pouring himself emotionally and trying to serve his people and connect with God. And so in every category of his life, there was all these exhausting experiences that just brought him to this point where he was running on E. Now, I don't know if you've ever found yourself running on E in life. You're exhausted. You're physically tired. You're emotionally spent, and you're spiritually empty. And this is where Elijah was, church. He was just there. And when you're running on E, we tend not to make the best decisions. Have you ever noticed that? When I'm on E, I want to quit everything good in my life. I'm like Elijah, God, take me now. I'm ready. I'm done. I quit. Quit everything. And that is where we get stuck. And stress becomes despair. And despair becomes hopelessness. And hopelessness devastates and ruins our life. And this is where Elijah was. So let me just talk about his response very quickly. So notice just how the progression here. He was afraid. And then he left his servants. And then he's just feeding his mind with these thoughts. God, take away my life. I'm no better than my fathers. It's all messed up. It's all terrible. There's no getting out of this. And what I've noticed in my own life, church, and I don't know if you're like this, but when life is most stressful, I tend to respond most poorly. And that really bugs me. When I feel the greatest sense of pressure in my life from the things that are stressing me out, I recognize that I tend to default in the most unhelpful ways. You ever have so much to do that you just waste the next 3 hours doing nothing? Because you're like, I just made this 5 times worse. I've got so much to do that I'm going to browse YouTube for 2 hours looking at monkeys jump in and out of trees. And sometimes when my stress is the highest, I default in the most unhelpful ways. And I think this is what Elijah did as well. But God is good, and God met him in this moment and offered him renewal. And there is renewal in 3 ways that I want to talk to you about today. He offered him a physical renewal, an emotional, and a spiritual. Physical, emotional, and spiritual. And let's look at these real quick. God comes and he hits each category. Because with Elijah, it wasn't just spiritual. It was also physical. It was also emotional. And sometimes for God to really lead us out of our stress, it's not just going to be something that changes in our spirits, but maybe it needs to be something that changes in our bodies or changes in our relationships or changes in our emotions. And let's look at this first one. What does God give him an opportunity to do? He laid down and he slept. And God sent a messenger to prepare him 2 meals. What was God doing there? Don't read over this part. God was renewing him physically. Sometimes our stress is amplified in our life because we're not taking any care of our physical bodies. Pastor, that doesn't sound very spiritual. I'm not joking about this. Don't overlook this as an unspiritual idea. If you're really stressed out, go sweat for a half an hour and then come back to your problems. They might feel and look totally different. God has given you a body for a reason. That our body isn't separate from our Christian life. I believe just like you have to steward your finances and you have to steward your relationships and you have to honor God with those, we have to honor God with how we take care of this vessel that he's given us. And if we're driving it into the ground through working too much, eating garbage all the time, not getting any adequate sleep, church, it's going to affect our ability to serve God to the full capacity that he has for you and me. And it's going to affect our ability to weather the stress of our lives. And what does God do? God doesn't show up and say, Elijah, let me quote some scripture to you. He doesn't show up and say, Elijah, trust in me. He shows up and says, Elijah, take a nap. You'll feel better. Eat a sandwich. And then we'll talk. Amen. For some of us, the most spiritual act we can do today is eat a cheeseburger and take a nap. Amen. I told that to Allie. I said, Allie, this is one of my points. And she said, where's that in the scripture? She said, 1 Kings 19, baby. Right there. But I do mean that. For some of us, maybe the stress is mainly a physical thing. And we have to see part of God's desire is to get that area of our life to a healthier place. And that is by taking care of it, getting some sleep, eating some good food, all that. It can make a difference, church. And I'm going to talk to you. I have one whole sermon in this series dedicated to that. I'm not going to tell you what Sunday it is so that you don't skip that one. But this is a part of a healthy life, and I think dealing with the stress in our lives. So that's the first part. Here's the second thing. Then we see God minister to him emotionally. He was afraid. He arose, ran for his life, came to Beersheba, but he left his servants there and he went a day's journey alone. And like I said before, one of the things that happens as we get stressed, it tends to lead us towards isolation. And for whatever reason, we want to just hold everything in and to ourselves And sometimes if we're not careful, when the weight of the world feels like it's on our shoulders, we are most likely to withdraw and try to figure it all out on our own, which is the most unhelpful response that we can have. Because relationships and community is what God always calls us into. When you read any research on stress and anxiety and depression and those kind of topics, one of the biggest factors to protecting our lives from those struggles and overcoming those struggles is healthy relationships. Relationships where we can be vulnerable, where we can be real, where we don't have to put on a church mask or any other type of mask, where we can just be honest and authentic, and we can care and speak wisdom into each other's lives and just be there for one another. And stress will always call you into isolation, and God always surrounds us with community. Notice what happens in the text. Elijah, he leaves his servants. Then he goes alone. He tries to get away from it all. And what does God do? God sends his messenger. And then God comes himself. And then God calls him to go back into community. Because we need each other in this life. Becoming more open and vulnerable with the people around us is not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of strength. I know in our world, we still really believe it's all on us. And I know many times we think, if I can't figure this out on my own, then I am inadequate to some measure. That is one of the greatest lies of evil. God never intended for us to do life alone. Church, that's why he made the church. So we can do it together. So we can know each other and be known and walk through the ups and downs of life. And so for some of us, maybe God needs to renew us through other people. And if you're like, well, you know, I don't have any people in my life that I trust. I don't have any good relationships. That's a real struggle in my life. Can I just give you some practical wisdom on that? If you want great friends in your life, your first approach should be to try and be a great friend to someone else. What I've noticed is people who struggle in this area, their focus is always on how are people being good friends to me? And that's where their lens is. And so every relationship, they're evaluating things from that angle. But if you want to build relationships, you have to get off of that and say, how can I be a great friend to someone else? And then what you'll see is community will naturally develop. You with me on this? If you want people to say hi to you, you should say hi to them. Two of you are with me on this. What I'm saying is you might have to take the first step. If you're like, Pastor, I hate all my coworkers. They hate me. What have you done to engage them? You're sitting there judging them because they're not engaging you. But maybe you're doing the same thing. And maybe your face looks really scary because you're angry all day. And so they don't know if they're going to get bit when they talk to you. Or all I'm saying, church, is sometimes you got to take the first step. And if you take the first step, you'll build community. Don't sit there and be upset because no one's taking the first step towards you. Take the first step towards them. You with me on this? And build community. All right, let's talk about the last part. God renews us spiritually, and we'll see this in the passage. And he does it through his presence and through his promises. The story goes on, and God led Elijah to this cave. And what happened is a great strong wind tore the mountains, and they broke in before the rocks, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. And that was actually God in that moment. And it's a really cool story, because there's all these grand and powerful and frightening things happening, and you think, oh yes, God would be in the earthquake and the fire, but then he comes in this gentle whisper. And what's the meaning of that? What is God doing for Elijah coming in that way? Because he certainly could have come in any way. Why does he come that way? I think there's something to this. If you're sitting next to someone you love, family, kids, just whisper in their ear real quick. Tell them you love them. Go ahead, real quick, just whisper. Just tell them. If you don't know the person sitting next to you, don't be weird. But you know, for a whisper to really be a whisper, what happened, you have to be physically very close, don't you? And you have to speak in a way where only that person hears you. I know sometimes you think you're whispering in church, but we all hear you. That's not the gentle whisper. We hear you. A real whisper, only that person. It's very intimate. It's very direct. And the physical proximity has to be so incredibly close for it to work. And I think what God is doing for Elijah in this moment, he's saying, Elijah, I'm here. I'm right here. I'm as close to you as if someone were whispering in your ear. And we only let the people that we trust and love the most do that for us in our lives. And God is saying to Elijah, you're not alone in all this. I'm in it with you. I know it feels like the end of the world, but Elijah, it's not. I'm present. I'm working. I'm here for you. And we'll get through this together. And I want you to know today, whatever you're facing, God is present. He may not be coming in the way that you would think. Elijah thought he'd be in the earthquake or the fire or whatever, but he came in a different way. And sometimes his movement in our life isn't what we would think or expect or anticipate, but it doesn't mean he's not still there and present and with us. You with me on this, church? And God reminds Elijah, I'm present. I always have been, and I always will be. And in your life, I know that is true as well. And God brings renewal. And then the story goes on, and Elijah, he's still struggling. And he just is venting to God. He says, I've been very jealous for the Lord of hosts, for the people of Israel. But they've forsaken your covenant. They've thrown down your altars. They've killed your prophets with the sword. And I only am left. God, I'm the last one. Do you ever feel like that in life sometimes? I'm the only one who cares about this house. I'm the only one that works hard here. I'm the only one in my family that isn't a lazy bum. You would never think that. I'm the only one that's trying. And many times, although we think that way and we feel that way, it isn't always the case. But this is where Elijah's at. They seek to take it away. And the Lord said to him, go return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal and every mouth that has not kissed him. And what is God saying to Elijah? I'm the only one. I got 7,000, Elijah. You're not the only one. One of the lies of stress is that it's all on our shoulders, that we've got to do it all, that it's all up to us. And God is saying, Elijah, I'm present, and it's not all up to you. I'm here. You're not the only one. I'm working. I'm doing stuff. There's more going on behind the scenes than you know. And I think one of the most important things to remind ourselves in seasons of real stress is God is always doing more than we think. He's always doing more for us. He's always 20 steps ahead of the thing that we're freaked out about. He's already planned and anticipated your bad decisions and my bad decisions. He's already ready to turn around our poor responses to the struggles and find a way to bless us in it. And so what that means is that we can trust him in the middle of the mess, in the middle of the pressure, in the middle of the stress. And God says to Elijah, Elijah, I'm working. I'm doing way more than you think. Go back and let's keep taking a step forward. And notice that God does tell him to go back. God doesn't say, Elijah, I'm going to change all your circumstances. I'm going to change your situation. What does he say instead? No, Elijah, I'm trying to change you. And what I found many times is that God doesn't always want to change the stressful circumstances in our life. Sometimes God allows them to stay so that our capacity grows. And our ability to endure the challenging and the difficult can become greater. And so God says, Elijah, I'm not going to fix all this for you right now. Know that I'm working. Know that I'm a million steps ahead of you. No, it doesn't all rest on you. And go back. But go back with a renewed spirit. Go back with a renewed faith. Go back with a renewed heart. And church, today I want you to know God is always doing more for you and I than we think. You know, 2,000 years ago, when we look at Christ going to the cross, he was going there to solve and anticipate our greatest problems. See, the greatest problem is not the stressors that we can name and identify. Our greatest problem is our alienation from God. Is the reality that our brokenness and our sins and our failures separate us from a holy and pure and perfect God. And 2,000 years ago, for every one of us in this room, God anticipated that problem and God solved it. And God sent his son to die for us so that the real things that can ultimately and eternally ruin us have no power anymore in our lives. God is always working for you more than you think he is. God is even always working for us when we're responding to him in poor ways. The book of Romans says that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Notice God still comes and meets Elijah, even though Elijah has made some poor decisions here. He still meets him. He doesn't say, Elijah, you're an idiot. And I'm going to leave you in the woods to stew on all this. And then once you get your head right, we'll talk. But he comes in great compassion. And he comes and he meets him in his time of need. And what I love about God is that no matter how poor we've responded in the past, no matter maybe how poorly we're dealing with the stress and the issues in our life, no matter how poorly we've responded to God, he will still give us his best. And we can believe that. We can be confident in that. We can trust in that. And today, church, God has given you his best. You will always have his best. Christ got the worst of him so that we will get the best of him. And so when we look at that, it strengthens and renews our spirits to take another step forward into what God is calling us to do and who God is calling us to be. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much, Lord, that the battle does belong to you. Lord, I know that the reality of this life is that so many times it feels as if it belongs to us. It feels like we've got to be smart enough. We've got to be strong enough. We've got to be strong for ourselves, and we've got to be strong for all those around us. But Lord, I know that the way you've created us is that we're meant to do all this with you, to trust you through it, to allow you to guide us and to strengthen us, to encourage us and to renew us. So I pray, Father, this morning we could just experience renewal. For some of us, Lord, I pray we could find physical renewal this year. Our bodies could be healthier. We could endure seasons of life better. I pray for others of us, Lord, there could be a new emotional and relational change in our lives, and we could have some healthy friendships and relationships that make life better. And I pray, Lord, all of us could connect with the wisdom and the majesty and the goodness of Christ in a way that just strengthens us for whatever is ahead. God, I ask for your help and your grace in all this. In the great name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information about Christ Church, check us out on the web at christchurchohio.org. If we can be of any help to you, call us at 440-236-8282. Until next time, blessings to you.